Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Gary Harpsch is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime Brain Trust member. He's been a corporate leader in the past for other people, but also for himself. And he's working now in his business to help his six disciplines business to help people like you and me become better CEOs. His book is called Six Disciplines Execution Revolution. That's one of his many books, and he's here to talk to us about growth. Gary Harps, welcome back.
Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good, doing great. It's good to have you back. You know, Gary, before you got here, I was telling the audience that one of my goals in my work here is to help small business owners understand that whether even if they may not be the CEO of or they may not be running General Motors, they might be more like the little general store in the corner, but regardless of what they're running, there is a role for a CEO in that business. And small business owners need to understand that and understand what those tasks are. And one of those tasks is how and when is the business going to grow? What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It's really the chief job of the CEO is to, I think, to forge the growth strategy for the company.
Right.
We've learned some lessons about three or four key steps to do that and do it well. And so we spend a lot of time with CEOs thinking about those sorts of things.
Right. Well, talk to us about when you think of a CEO sitting, looking out surveying his world, so to speak, or her world. What is the first thought they should have when they contemplate growing the business?
Well, what we noticed is even in a small team of people, there often is not clarity about their where they're making money today and where they want to invest to place their bets for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so we actually encourage that the very first step is to think about a little matrix we put up on the board, but it says where are your current customers and where are your new customers and what are your current products and new products. And establish what level of profitability your current products are making with your current customers. A lot of companies don't even know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
Before you entertain growth, you have to understand whether your current products, the current market, the current customers are making money.
So you got to, before you can project, you got to assess, don't you?
Absolutely. And here's the principle: if you're not making money with your current products and your current market, then you don't have the investment.
Mm-hmm.
Your problem is not growth. Your problem is cost.
Right.
And you have to solve the cost problem so that you have the profit to then decide where to invest.
And so if you don't have a good foundation, a profit strategy foundation, your current system is not delivering profitability, and certainly cash too. If you don't have that, then whatever you're planning to do is probably going to start out on the wrong foot as well, right?
Yeah, that's it. You got it. And it's kind of interesting when we challenge people about growth strategy. The first thing we say is, well, let's look at your current business, and it has to be the foundation. What'll happen is if you try to grow and don't have the foundation healthy, then you'll never execute the growth strategy because you're bouncing back and forth you don't really have a clear picture of what the problem is, and so that's step one. Is get a really clear picture of whether you're making money in your core business. And if you're not, fix that problem first. Then the second step.
Let me throw something else in there. Unfortunately, for most small businesses, what you just said is not something they have ready access to. It's not like they can. Most of them. I'm sorry to say, most can't turn around and say, okay, let me get that report this way now, because they don't have the report at all. Way too many small business owners do not have regular financial tracking, financial records that will help them do that. So that's what really concerns me is that missing that piece, missing that sort of financial self-assessment tool, they still may be driven to grow, try to grow without that information. So, folks, this is why all these years I've been saying you got to start tracking your financial activity on a more regular basis. Go ahead now, Gary.
Yeah, I agree with you. The second step is to think through, and you do this with your team. Often we have them put a little diagram on the wall, just the three or four top leaders, and say, okay, where we need to grow $200,000 next year, or $500,000, whatever it is. Where is that going to come from? New products or new customers or some combination? And we have each of the leaders put up where they think that money's going to come from. And it's all over the map. They don't have a clear picture of what their growth priorities are. So that's the second step, is to say, to evaluate the alternatives, but to pick one and execute it well. And here's what's interesting. We always toss out the question, well, if your core business is healthy, what should you do next, add products or add customers? And it stops most people because they haven't thought it through, that the answer depends. If you're a distribution business where you can add a new product, it's probably easier to add products and sell more to the same customer.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in an R&D business like I am, where you got a two-year cycle to offer a new program, it's less expensive to find a new customer for the same products you have.
Right. So the question is, can I buy more and grow, or can I grow by buying more of what I sell, or do I have to build it? Do I have to make it? And that helps you decide, right?
That's right. And by the way, this comes back to your point about having good information. It costs us, like in a pay-per-click campaign in our business, it takes us 30 clicks or 30 clicks to get one response on our website.
Right.
And then it takes us 30 of those responses on the website to close a client.
That's a long cycle.
So we know the cost per click, and we know on the average it's going to cost us $2,800.
Wow. Gary, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Right back with Gary Harps. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.